This is the Talk Show America Show.
And welcome one and all to the Talk Show American. JR here with you today, folks. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed. Boy, I'll tell you, by now everyone knows that the Russians have invaded the Ukraine. The Ukrainians are fighting back valiantly, folks, but it's probably just a matter of time. What a mess over there, for sure. And wondering, you know, where has NATO been? I know that the Ukraine isn't a member of NATO, but really you've got to start thinking about these things in terms of if the Ukraine falls, what other countries that were used to be Soviet, Soviet countries that were part of the Soviet Union that have since been separated from them, what other countries might have to worry about the same thing coming to them at some point in time? It's amazing right now to see what's going on over there and to hear what's going on, and to think that basically NATO and the U.S. are sitting on their hands. Now, I get we don't want to get into a conflict with Russia. I get it. I understand with Putin, certainly. But to watch this thing going on, and to hear of it going on, and watching videos and things that you can see that you know of, it's heartbreaking in many ways, because these people, you can tell they're fighting. The Ukrainian army certainly seems to be putting up a pretty good resistance to the Russian troops, but still, at some point in time, the overwhelming numbers of the Russian army compared to the Ukrainian army are going to overwhelm them at some point in time. There's just no doubt about it. It's just amazing that we're sitting back and watching this. But it's like everything else, folks. We'll have to see what happens. Meantime, there's a lot of things going on that we should be looking at related to this, and certainly some things that have come to light recently with Putin and Biden, and even former President Trump. It's just amazing. One thing I wanted to mention in regards to this now, one of the reasons why I believe that Putin is invading the Ukraine is because, obviously, Ukraine wants to become part of NATO. Now, there was a deal that was made some time ago that basically said that the Ukraine wouldn't try to become part of NATO and they'd be left alone. Now, of course, that's, there's rumors of that, and this may be why Putin is trying to get in there now before they become a member of NATO. But, I know they're not a member of NATO yet, but how can we sit by and watch this? It's just amazing. But anyway, it is happening. But since that situation has come about, it's also have been learned that Putin has threatened Finland and Sweden that if they were to want to become part of NATO, that they could face military and political consequences if that happened. I mean, this is just amazing. This is how emboldened Putin now is, folks. Because he sees that NATO and the U.S. are not going to get involved, and they haven't yet. There may be some U.S. equipment there that was given to them a while ago that they're using, and they have used this against the Russians, and they have been successful with it. They've been actually pretty good at knocking down some of their aircraft and their tanks. They are using some U.S. equipment that was not given to them to start this conflict. They already had it, you know, through NATO or through the U.S. They already had this equipment, even though they're not part of NATO. They've done a good job. They really have. You've got to give it to the Ukrainians. They've done a good job. There was a report of there's a small, and I guess you can call it an island, you know, as you're coming into the Ukraine, where they were a Russian warship. There were about 13, I guess, soldiers on the island, where they told them to surrender. And basically the response, or at least reportedly anyway, from the 13 Ukrainian soldiers was to tell the Soviet Navy to go F themselves. And of course, obviously, those people did not make it. They were killed. But this shows you the resolve and the tenacity of the Ukrainians. They want their independence. They want their sovereignty, folks. This is not something that's, you know, a bad thing. This is, but somehow we've allowed the Russians to invade Ukraine and almost untouched. It's just ridiculous. And I know there was a lot of back and forth on negotiations going on, and I get that part of it too, the diplomatic part. But what are we being diplomatic about? What if the Ukraine wants to join NATO? Then they should be able to, at some point in time, join NATO. You know, if that's what they want to do, without being, without the aggression of the Russians. You know, basically saying, if you do, we're going to do this. You know, it's unbelievable. But you hear some people talk, and there are people that are talking on Twitter, Facebook, things of this nature, that are basically trying to say this is the fault of the Ukrainians. I'm like, you got to be kidding me! Can you imagine that going on in this country, where some country says, hey, listen, we're going to come and we're coming in, and you know, like, or a state like Texas or California or something, and Mexican government saying, hey, we're coming in and taking over this territory, because we don't want you to be part of the United States anymore. What do you think is going to happen? People are going to fight. They're going to fight. Now, the Ukrainians were actually given, a lot of citizens were actually given firearms by the Ukrainian government because they wanted them, and many of them have joined in the fight. Now, they're not really trained for a lot of this stuff, folks, but listen, this is what happens when a country attacks another country to take away its sovereignty and its freedom. Now, they tried to hide this under peacekeeping and all this other political BS is what it is, folks. Let's face it. That's what it is. And it's just amazing. It's amazing to watch some of these freedom-loving or freedom countries, or some of these countries that are so-called democracies, etc., just watching this go on and really not doing anything, not saying anything. I mean, yeah, they're going in the UN. There's been the usual, proverbial, well, you know, you've got to stop this aggression. No, these people need to be told. These people need to be shown. The rest of the world is not going to put up with this. The rest of the civilized world, and I'm not talking about China and some of these other countries, but the rest of the civilized world is not going to put up with this aggression against the Ukraine. If there's some type of negotiations to go on, that's one thing. But to go in there and to start attacking and start bombing civilian targets, bombing cities, over what? That they wanted to join NATO? I mean, this is just ridiculous. And it just comes to the same thing as I said before. If they keep going, folks, do you think they're going to stop at the Ukraine? That may stop for now. But what do you think is going to happen after that? Where do you think they're going to go after they get through with the Ukraine? And it may not, like I said, it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen for 5 years from now. But every little step they take, and they notice that no one is doing anything about it. One thing I will say, and people can say this, you know, people can deny this or try to say all they want that it's not true. It is true. Under President Donald Trump, love him or hate him, basically depending upon which side you're on, most countries wouldn't have tried this, including Russia. Because they feared him. Say what you want. They did. you know, hey, let's face it. There's a story out there right now. And, you know, again, I don't know if it's exactly true, but it's being touted out there that Donald Trump told Putin, while he was president, when they were discussing the Ukraine, that if he attacked the Ukraine, that he would bomb Moscow. He would destroy Russia's basically capital city. That's, you know, that's powerful. If he told Putin those things, that's powerful. And you know what? Putin probably believed him. Putin probably thought he's just nuts enough to do it. I mean, that would it have happened? Who knows? I highly doubt it. However, the thought process was there. And let's face it, you know, he showed the world that he was ready to do what it took to defend some countries, that needed defending against some of these tyrants like Syria, Iran. He showed that he was willing to do this, not because he wanted to start a major war or anything else, but he wanted to show that the United States was strong and could stand up to these dictators who thought that they could just come and start taking over countries or attacking innocent citizens and civilians in cities. He wanted to show them that we're not going to put up with it, and we will defend them if that's what we need to do. Not that we want to. Not that we want to go in there. It's the same thing as the Ukraine. I understand the kind of hands-off approach in a way to some people are like, well, we should just leave. I just don't agree with it, folks. I'm sorry. Do I want to see us involved in another war? And says, no, I don't want to see that, and I don't think anybody else does either. But the bottom line is, at some point in time, when do we say, hey, enough is enough here. This is going too far. There's been plenty of time to do something about this. Plenty of time. This has been going stewing for years. This isn't something that just started under Trump. It was starting to stew, and he tamped it down. However he did it, if he did it the way he said he did it, that's fine. It must have got the message across because he wasn't doing too much. But at what point in time does the world finally say, hey, this isn't right. It's time to do something. And I know no one wants to get into conflicts and wars right now. No one. And I understand that. But at what point in time do we say, you know, what else are we going to do here? I just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that the civilians and the Ukrainian military can't hold on forever. There's going to have to be some way, somewhere along the line, where this is stopped somehow, or where NATO, the United States, and other allies step in and say, enough is enough here. This is ridiculous. It should have been stopped before it ever started. And I think that would have been a show of force that says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And if Putin wants to talk about reducing places to ashes, then he has to sit there and realize that his own country is going to be reduced to ashes as well. This BS that, you know, well, he'll shoot missiles and, you know, he'll make, you know, radioactive dust out of cities. I just don't believe it. Okay, because there are too many consequences involved in this and doing this. Unless there's some other master plan, whether, I don't know if it's the Chinese and the Russians would be together or whatever, but still, even then, there's not going to be a clear winner here. There isn't. So I don't buy the blustery, they're going to nuke you and all this other stuff. I don't. And it's simple as that. And, this is the defense some people are using, saying, well, the reason why they're not doing this right now is because they don't want a nuclear war. Yeah. Folks, I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I'm just saying I doubt that it would happen. There's too much at stake. You know, you can bomb a country into oblivion. That's what you want to do. I mean, with nukes, even with, theater tactical nukes, which aren't going to cause the widespread destruction that a nuclear ballistic missile would. It's still, what's going to be left? What's going to be left? And so it's amazing to me that so far nothing has been done except for us to watch what's going on. It's almost like everybody's waiting. But he did, in fact, according to some sources, the Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman warned other countries attempting to join NATO. Specifically, two of them were named, Finland and Sweden. And this is amazing, folks. Finland and Sweden, now they've been told if you try to join NATO, we'll attack you too. You know, people have to start looking at this and saying, hey, wait a minute here. This is not even, I mean, again, I don't even know what the justification is for them to be attacking the Ukraine. There's obviously, to me, there's no justification. But it's like everything else. We'll be back, folks, in a few minutes. We're just going to take a break here. Be right back.
You're listening to the Talk Show America Show.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-795-5573. 800-795-5573. That's 800-795-5573.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, an early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Alana was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it's cancer. As a parent, when you're told this type of news, you're going to do whatever you can do for your babies. When we got to St. Jude is when I realized that, no, you're not going to get a bill for anything. I don't have to worry about it. They're saying we're going to help save her, and we're not going to charge you anything. This is what we do.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
All right, folks, we're back here on the Talk Show American. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much, folks. We were talking about the news of the day, the news of the week, the invasion of the Ukraine by the Russian army. Under the guidance of Putin, and we were just talking briefly before we went to the break about the threatened military and political consequences against Finland and Sweden if they decided to join NATO too, from the Russian Foreign Ministry spokesperson. Just amazing, folks. How can we sit back and hear these things and say, well, you know, it's not our fight? Well, it may not be our fight, folks, and certainly, at least in the side of, you know, over in, you know, I mean, NATO and Europe, they've got to be concerned about this. Because, again, as I said earlier, this may be as far as they go for now. But once they see that they're emboldened, and I worry about, you know, a lot of our enemies seeing this, besides Russia, you know, the Chinese government, you know, Iran, countries like this, see this almost unscathed invasion of a sovereign country by another, and no justification for it. It wasn't like the Ukrainians fired on the Russian capital or something of this nature. I mean, unless someone knows some justification that I'm unaware of, basically this is it. Now, you know, who knows? But listen, there was a report out, and I still haven't vetted this yet. I'm still looking through it because I haven't really posted it up on my blog or on Twitter or the Talk Show American on Facebook. As a report of that, there were several labs, laboratories in Ukraine that were taken or destroyed by Russia as, you know, they were targets. Now, I don't know, they're supposed to be bio labs, so this, you know, and supposedly they're supposed to belong to us, to the U.S. I don't know, folks. But there's a lot of hinky stuff going on here. Biden, he's nowhere to be found. He's not around. He's not going to be around, folks. He's not going to do anything. Biden is just going to stay on the sidelines and watch what's going on here, with the exception of, you know, these sanctions. Speaking of that, something that really just irked me also, was seeing that these sanctions that he put, that Biden put on Putin, he basically told the world, and maybe we told everybody, that he didn't expect them to be preventative. And now he's gone on to this next set of sanctions, which seems to be a little bit more severe. But if you didn't think the sanctions were going to be preventative, why bother putting them in place in the first place? It's almost, it's kind of, happenstance after, well, it wasn't, I didn't think those would work, but, well, if you didn't think they work, why bother? Because it shows weakness again. It shows that you're not willing to be strong when you have to be. It's simple as that. Now, say what you will, folks. As much as I said, President Trump, love him or hate him, everybody's got their own opinion. Him saying, at least reportedly, that if Putin moved against the Ukraine, that the president would hit Moscow, is kind of showing some strength. Now, that's a little harsh, but at the same time, it seems to, at least at some point in time, to have worked. And that's the key. The strength, showing strength. And this is not only, you can't only blame Biden on this, but Biden is basically considered the world leader now. NATO hasn't done anything, although, and again, I understand Ukraine isn't part of NATO, but they're in Europe, folks. Where do they think anybody's going after they go to the Ukraine? They're going to start looking at, in my opinion anyway, Putin's going to start looking at other countries that were part of the Soviet Union at one point in time, and thinking that they can get those back too. And then from there, where do they go? And as I said, you've got this report that through his Ministry of his foreign ministry, basically threatened Finland and Sweden that if they decided to become part of NATO, that they too would be subject to military attack. I don't know. I guess I'm getting frustrated with this because I've never seen, ever, this, well, except for the Biden, Obama administration, with Crimea, if you remember that part. I've never seen such docile behavior from the President of the United States in terms of this type of aggression being carried out against, a sovereign nation. I've never seen it. It's totally amazing that this is going on and nothing basically is being done except for talk and sanctions so far. And yet they're in there, attacking civilians and the military, and they're destroying cities, and we're standing by, kind of just looking around. I don't know. I just don't get it. And maybe there's something I'm not getting. I haven't seen anything, and I'm pretty up on stuff that's going on. So we'll have to see. Let me go on to a story here that is just amazing right now. That I also came across. It's coming from the Western Journal, which is a fairly decent source of information. It says that Biden was duped by the Chinese. Apparently, and this has to do with the Ukraine. Apparently, in hopes of securing assistance and deterring the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the Biden administration provided China with military intelligence, trying to get them to say, hey, the Russians are about to invade the Ukraine. Can you do something about it? Can you talk to them? But instead of them using that information and going to talking to Putin and saying, hey, what's going on here, which who thought they would, but anyway, apparently the Chinese turned the information over to Russia. Now this happened in December. that the U.S. officials learned that China had provided the American intelligence on the Russian military activity to Moscow. And this was reported in the New York Times. Apparently the Biden administration believed that if any world leader could prove capable of convincing Russian President Putin to rethink his invasion, it was the Chinese president. And apparently, I don't know. Apparently, that didn't work out. So they gave him some of the intelligence that they had gathered, saying this is going to happen. And instead, the Chinese turned it over to Putin and advised him what the U.S. had. It's one thing after another with this administration, folks. I wouldn't trust the Chinese government as far as you can throw them. I wouldn't. And I would certainly not give them any intelligence that we had. And maybe they already had it. Who knows? It doesn't really matter. But they had shared intelligence with the Chinese. So then here comes the Chinese. They go to Putin, and they don't try to talk him out of invading. They basically show Putin what we already know, that we know where their positions are and everything else. It's just this isn't done. It isn't done this way. It's just, I don't know. It's about this administration anymore. This government is basically out of control. They don't seem to know what they're doing. They don't. I'm sorry. For a man that's supposedly been in Congress as long as this guy has, and we all know that he's been there a long time, and now he's the president of the United States, he's dumb. Completely dumb. Of course, the president doesn't do everything himself, and I understand that part too. I'm sure that he was advised of this, and he probably approved of it. But these intelligence, the word intelligence or intelligent, I don't know, it's being basically misconstrued here, because these people, if they gave the Chinese all the intelligence they had on the Russian military buildup near the Ukraine, all the information where they were, logistics, all this other stuff, and they expected that the Chinese were going to go and say, "Hey, you can't do this." They need to find another job, because the Chinese and the Russians are basically allies right now, and have been for some time. And they know this. This isn't something new. This isn't all of a sudden, whoa, that we didn't realize they'd become allies now. This is crazy. And it doesn't make any sense, folks. The Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, here failed in attempts to convince China to work against Russia's plans in January, just before he launched his attack. This is just crazy. They gave the Chinese the intelligence we had on Russia, and they just went over to the Russians and said, they went over to Putin and said, "Hey, look what the United States has got on you. This is they know these positions, they know this, they know that." Unbelievable. The president proved utterly incapable of effectively working with America's NATO partners to deter Russian aggression. The only thing that happened is finally Germany, canceled the Russian Nord Stream 2 pipeline they had with the European countries. They're refusing to back measures that would stymie trade and commerce between themselves and oil-rich Russians. At least Germany finally did this, which is just something. But other than that, what are they doing, folks? What are they doing? And you've got people now trying to blame the Ukrainians for what's going on here, and I just don't buy it. I just don't. Buy it at all. So we're going to have to see what happens here. It's I don't want to say it's comical, because it's not, but it's comical the way the U.S. intelligence and the Biden administration is handling these things. Who would give intelligence information that we have against our enemy to the Chinese and say, hey, can you talk to him? And you know, why would you? I just don't get it. I just don't. It's frustrating, to say the least. Very much frustrating that this is the type of things that are going on within the Biden administration, just how poorly it's being handled. Speaking of that, has anybody, let's see what time, much time we have here, but has anybody remembered the time that Joe Biden gave the Russians a list of 16 entities that would cripple the United States if we were hit by cyber attacks? It's like nothing like telling your enemy, you know, oh, hey, you know, if you hit these 16 places, it's going to cripple us. Why would you tell them that? I mean, they probably already know anyway, folks. But that's not the point. You don't hand off, you know, more fuel to the fire here. You don't. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't. I'm just, I don't know. I'm at a loss for words, unfortunately. I'm hoping I'm not rambling too much, but it's just, it's mind-blowing to me that this is going on and there's no, absolutely no leadership here to speak of, to try to sway these people, the Russians, you know, the Putin, from carrying on his aggressive tactics. And the rest of the world seems to be sitting by and watching as well. No one seems to want to do anything. And it's sad. It really is. It's sad. And the Ukrainians are by themselves. This is a terrible thing. It really is. I don't know, you know, if this will continue this way. I hope it's not going to. I hope that somehow someone's going to get involved here. And I think NATO will eventually, if it starts really getting really bad. But then what's it going to turn into when we probably could have stymied this in the beginning? So, I mean, you know, there's still people, oh, you know, he was going to nuke it. That's crap. All right, folks, we're going to be back in a few minutes here on the Talk Show America show. Thank you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk Show America show.
Are you 60 plus and love to travel? Introducing the Senior Travel Discount Network, brought to you by Low Cost Airlines. Call us anytime, day or night, and save up to 75% on your airline and hotel reservations. We can help you save a ton of money to fly almost anywhere. We have inside discounts on over 500 airlines and 500,000 hotels worldwide. And when you call and mention the discount code 60 plus, we'll give you an extra free night with your qualified air and hotel reservation. Now you can get the best prices on air and hotel reservations with your phone. We make it easy and fast for you to save money and book a trip. Remember, call the Senior Travel Discount Network. Mention the discount code 60PLUS for your free hotel night with your qualified reservation. Call now.
800-643-3049. 800-643-3049. 800-643-3049. That's 800-643-3049.
My daughter Brinley is here at St. Jude. Coming here was literally life or death and was so scary. But St. Jude is fighting for one goal, like this one mission, life. And that gave us hope. We haven't received a single bill from St. Jude, so I really can just focus on what's best for Brinley.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Liberal enemy number one. J.R. Heard here.
On the radio.
Radio. Talk Show America. No political correctness here.
All right, folks, and welcome back to the Talk Show America. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much, folks. Thank you so much. And don't forget to follow the Talk Show America on Twitter, folks, Facebook, Parler, Getter. We're out there. It's just so many of these social media things now. It's hard to even keep up with where I am. I have to look at my favorites to find out if I'm on this. These platforms, it's terrible to say, but it's true, because when I post something, I got to look, I got to try to do it. I got to get back to, I used to have company, a software that in the computer that I could post all of them just by putting it on one spot, but we'll have to get to that. Anyway, I appreciate your listenership, folks. I appreciate your interaction on Twitter and Facebook. It's very much appreciated. I realize you have busy things, busy days, things to take care of. We all know that feeling. Thank you so much. It really is appreciated. Okay, let me get to this a little bit more. I found the article that I was looking for. According to the Gateway Pundit, folks, last June, Joe Biden announced during his solo presser in Geneva that he gave Russian President Putin a list of 16 areas of critical infrastructure that should be off limits for cyber attacks. Are you kidding me, folks? It's like, well, you can attack these, but not those. You shouldn't attack these because it's critical to our infrastructure. Oh, I can't fathom this. Not only did he give him a list of targets, he is also implying that the entities not on the list are fair game, as we're saying. So if it's not on this list, it's okay. Attack it if you want. What the heck is going on in this country, folks? I don't get this anymore. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot out there. You know, he's got dementia. He's dumb. He is dumb, but. And believe me, he was dumb before he got to this age. But why would you give your enemy any information at all? And again, Putin probably knew this already. I'm sure. But it doesn't matter, folks. You don't hand it to him anyway, just in case he didn't. Unbelievable. Now, these 16... entities that he gave to Putin were critical infrastructure under U.S. policy, from the energy sector to our water systems. It's like, what is going on here? It was, and this was verified, folks, by CBS News, by the way, because CBS News posted it on Twitter at the time. And you're talking about June 16th of 2021. It's just... That's unbelievable. Him and Putin agreed to have experts in their countries work on separate understandings about what's off limits. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. I am, folks. I just don't get the significance of this. But anyway, you know, it's almost like it's a game. It really is. It's almost like it's a game. Well, listen, you know, we know, between me and you, that this isn't going to happen, but we don't want our citizens to understand this. We want them to think, oh, we're afraid of the bear, we're afraid of the eagle. It's if you're a Russian citizen, the eagle's your enemy. If you're an American citizen, the bear's your enemy. We all understand this already, folks. We're not little kids. We understand, you know, this has been going on for years. This is not anything new. Believe me when I tell you, my whole life has been basically living under the Cold War since I was born in 1953, since the 50s. I remember when we were kids, and many of you probably remember the same, because of my larger portion of my audience are senior, remember getting under the teacher banging on the piano and getting under the desk or some other signal that they give you, and you have to get under your desk in case there was an air raid. You know, and much of it, and under those circumstances at that time, much of it was, if it was a nuclear bomb, I mean, them not telling you that it was a nuclear bomb, you're toast anyway, your desk isn't going to do anything. But I remember living under those conditions. The Cold War has been going on for a long time, and now it's starting to heat up here, folks. It's turning out to be a lukewarm war now rather than a Cold War. But I still don't believe, and I said this earlier, and I'll say it again, I still don't believe that we're close to nuclear war unless this thing just blows out of proportion completely. And you get a few other countries involved in this. It's not going to turn into a nuclear war. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I doubt it highly. Let's put it that way. You know, rather than just say it's not completely, I doubt it highly. Again, we're gonna have to watch this closely. Now, there's been some talk now that Russia's ready to send a delegation to the Ukraine to talk, to negotiate. Who are they going to negotiate? Surrender and we'll be all set. And now it's turning about saying the negotiations reportedly will be on whether or not Ukraine is now willing to drop its interest in joining NATO. This is what this is all about. I just don't believe this. I don't believe this. It's again, this attack is going on, at least according to these some of these people, is going on because they wanted to join NATO. It's unbelievable. But according to Russia, they're willing to send this was in Just the News yesterday. According to Russia, they're ready to send a delegation to speak with the Ukrainian officials. I mean, so in other words, if you're willing to drop your interest in joining NATO, they'll talk to you and they'll go from there. Now, Ukrainian President Zelensky said he's willing to discuss a non-aligned status for Ukraine. Moscow has demanded that Ukraine drop its bid to join NATO. This is what it's all about. It's ridiculous, folks. And unfortunately, that may be what's going to happen. But does anybody really believe that this is what this is all about? This is not new. Ukraine has been wanting to join NATO for a long time. I just don't see it. I guess time will tell. And I'm certainly no diplomat or person, from the State Department. It's hard to say, but I just find it really, really funny that this is what it's all about. This has been going on for a long time. So anyway, a poll came out, and we can talk about this a little bit. Poll came out since during all these things, all the attacks and the reports. Poll come out that says 56% of the American people say that Biden's response to Russia is not tough enough. Again, this comes from, him not, he put out some sanctions that he basically said he knows they're not going to deter him. Well, if you know that's not going to deter him, you got to go to something that you think will. You just do. In the poll conducted a day before the invasion of the Ukraine, it showed that most registered voters are concerned about the conflicts between the two countries, with 56% of them saying that Biden has not been tough enough on Russia. And I agree with that because they still invaded. You've got to be, you've got to be tougher. You had to be tougher on them. 8% said they thought Biden had been too harsh. Who the heck are they? They must be, I don't know who that 8% of people would say that Biden's been too harsh. Are you kidding me? He said that he knew that the sanctions he put on him weren't going to deter this, wasn't going to prevent this. Then that's being too tough, too harsh. 29% said the president is handling the crisis about right. Well, that 29%, who knows? Sizable percentage of Democrats, 42%, joined 52% of independents and 72% of Republicans in wanting Biden to be tougher in his response. Which should be, folks. Throw away Democrat, Republican, and all this other stuff. We're watching the Russians basically decimating a sovereign country that wants to be left alone and to be independent and do what it wants. We're watching this. It doesn't matter what political genre you are here in this country right now. Anybody that's a freedom-loving American, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, can't sit here back and watch this and say, well, yeah, the Ukrainians deserve this. No one is going to say that. No one in their right mind, anyway. No one's going to say that. So, yes, only 8% of the people were saying Biden was being too harsh. And I don't know who those 8% are, but they need a reality check. 29% said you said handling it about right. Okay, 29% said yeah. It's but most of the country is saying, hey, this isn't right, and something needs to be done about it. Yeah, no, we don't want to walk into a war, and we certainly don't want to walk into a nuclear war. But folks, we've been closer than this, and we've come out unscathed. How can we sit back and watch and listen to these attacks, and no one is lifting a finger to help these people? No one. No, they're not a member of NATO right now, but does that really matter? Does that really matter in the long run? You know, we need to help these people. I don't want to see us get involved in a big, long military thing, but at some point, we should have stopped this long before it started. Now it's going to be harder. And the more territory they gain, folks, the harder it's going to be to root them out. And I think that, you know, we're going to join the party too late. And then it's going to become a problem. Because as more troops pour in and they start moving across the country and moving in different areas, it's going to be very hard to root them out. Not that you can't, but it's going to be difficult. So most of the country basically siding with Ukraine and basically siding, I don't want to say against the president, but they are. They're saying you're not being tough enough. You're not putting tough enough sanctions. You're not telling him, don't cross this line, cross the line in the sand under his under Obama and his administration. Vice President Biden by then didn't work either. But you can't draw a line if you're not going to do anything. And it's simple as that. You need to back up what you say. Donald Trump did this. Many people remember everybody telling you President Trump he's going to get us into a nuclear war. He's going to get us into wars against these countries. It didn't happen, folks. And largely because I think, I don't mean to be disparaging to the president, he did a lot of good things, but I think largely because a lot of countries thought that he was a nut. Really, I think so. I think a lot of the countries said this guy is basically means what he says. He'll do this. And that's the thing I think that deterred a lot of people, a lot of other countries going, yeah, right now we're gonna have to wait. And so when people say that there was interference in the election and probably maybe some foreign interference, that wouldn't have surprised me at all, because I don't think anybody wanted Donald Trump in for a second term of countries like Russia, China, things of that nature, aggressive countries, because they knew that he was a leader that would basically back up what he says. And, like I said, love him or hate him or like what he did or not, the bottom line is he was effective, folks, at keeping this at bay. And now here we are. It's not his fault, as some people are trying to say. That's crap. The position was clear. And if telling Vladimir Putin that he'd take out the Moscow and those buildings they have with those fancy tops on them and stuff, tell them to reduce them to ashes, that's pretty gutsy in my opinion. It may have been enough to deter him. And people say, he talked about Vladimir Putin, he said this, he said that, he said, he's friends with him. Well, he talked with him, folks. If he feels that he can talk with him, there's nothing wrong with that. You've got to be able to talk to especially in his position, to your adversaries, even if you can. But however it gets done, does it really matter as long as there's no aggression? It's just amazing. Well, that's all the time we're going to have for today, folks. I know I've gone on about this blathering, but it was in my mind and I wanted to get it out. We'll catch you again, folks, on another episode of the Talk Show American. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much. Thank you. Have a great day.
God bless America. The night with the light from above.